And there was a lot of discussion and differing opinions, certainly within the council, as to is this in the best interests of the entire community? And it was one of those 5-4 votes that do happen, and that's always a good thing. We can agree to disagree.
Steve Sherlock here for Franklin Matters, Franklin Public Radio, anywhere, anytime at WFPR.FM and in the local Franklin Mass FM radio dial 102.9. There was a rather longish town council meeting last night, so we got our town council chair this morning to provide a recap and say, okay, what just happened? What does it mean? And hopefully do it less than while we're still awake, because it was a long night last night. How are you doing, Tom?
I'm doing well, Steve. Thank you again for having me. But it was a lengthy meeting last night. There was a lot of zoning issues that we needed to get to, and we just had made the decision that we were just going to do them all and get them all done in the one evening. So the meeting went till shortly after 11 last night, which is very late.
Yeah.
I apologize to my fellow councilors for the late hour, but I think it was good. We were able to get through everything that we needed to last night. So, but a little tired this morning for sure, Steve.
Well, yeah, maybe it'll be a nap this afternoon somewhere for those lucky ones.
I only wish.
But respectfully, too, a lot of this, some of this could have been done earlier, but again, your prior two meetings were budget focused. And then unfortunately, I think depending upon what happens, you're going to have to do more budget stuff the next time you meet. So it really made sense to do all this now. So
exactly.
The only other piece would have been considering adding another special meeting, which, you know, given everybody else's schedules. Yeah.
That's not always easy to do.
Not always easy. No, not at all. So anyway, we'll get right into it, being mindful of the time to recap. Anyway, you did start off, at least in terms of a good high point, the annual Electric Youth visit to sing a song before they hightail it off to their trip to Europe.
Yeah. Yeah, it's and it's always nice to have them come in and to see the kids come in and perform, and they are so fortunate to have this opportunity where they are off for a 3-week concert tour in Europe, Belgium, Italy, France. And they will be performing at Normandy, at a couple of the sites over there. That is great. So it's always nice to have them come in, and they go abroad and act as ambassadors for the youth of America as well as the youth of our local communities. So it was a good way to start the meeting for sure.
And just a side note, people can listen to the video recording, the replays available. But it struck me perhaps more this time around, but I think there was that much more diversity in terms of the representation around the communities. There were from Franklin High School graduates and students, but they were not the only ones. There were people from Bellingham, Medway, and elsewhere. It was like, ooh, wow, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, it truly is kind of a regional school, but based here in Franklin.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, I think there's one or two from Hopkinton, Bellingham, Norfolk, the majority from Franklin, of course, but it's all good. Yeah, it's really good stuff.
And then on a business note, you renewed or approved Jamie's renewal of the contract with Verizon for the cable services, which, by way of disclosure, oh, by the way, since I volunteer for the cable organization and I'm on the board, that is certainly out there. And I did step up to say, yes, we like this. We are concerned that our cable subscriptions are declining, but we recognize as well it's a competitive market between Comcast and Verizon. And we do use those funds for good purposes. So hopefully the community will better understand what's going on and utilize the resources that we have for the community benefit.
Yes, for sure. And again, we generally work with them on five-year contracts. So hopefully it will continue and we don't, you know, the decrease, as you alluded to, in cable, you know, people going more to streaming, but you still have the internet need. And so there's always that piece. And I think I still feel that we are fortunate as a community to have two cable options within the community.
Yes.
And I think that's really important. I know a lot of our residents, you know, pit one against the other.
Sure.
Trying to get the best possible deal. And that is one of the pieces that by having two cable companies within the community, you have that ability, or the residents have that ability to negotiate where many other communities do not.
Yep. And I've taken advantage of that. I was a Comcast subscriber initially, and we've switched to Verizon and I haven't gone back, but the opportunity is always there. So yeah, that's definitely a plus for the community.
Yeah.
Now, one of the other pluses, the farmer's market starts again. So you did kind of the annual renewal or application approval for La Cantina and then a new Bliss Point meadery. And some people don't know what mead is, but it's an interesting drink.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's. I guess I learned a little bit about it last night in that it's a kind of a honey-based hops of some kind. So have to try it sometime, but we did approve two licenses last night for the farmers market, which begins next week. And it's one for La Cantina and the other one for Bliss Point Meadery. So I'm looking forward to taking the opportunity to see what that truly tastes like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did buy some a couple of years ago, I believe it was a Bellingham firm that had come in and they didn't do a tasting. So they didn't need to get the license, but they were there selling, et cetera. And it is interesting. It's an acquired taste. And that one also had different flavors. And if I recall kind of the standard or the plain, that definitely is acquired taste. But try it. Somebody will like it for sure.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure.
Yep. And then you get into the real business, as we alluded to early on, in terms of the zoning. So what had been a discussion at one point at the council, you had moved it off to the planning board because I think, if I recall correctly, this was the one that complicated by the election. Not all of the planning board members had actually participated in the vote to recommend it coming back. So you gave them a full shot at it. And they did reply fully this time, and it's now up to a second reading.
Correct. And that's the rezoning of the two parcels between the Franklin Fire Station and the senior housing or senior living quarters on King Street. So there's currently a house on one piece of that property and the other is vacant. So anyway, this was a discussion and a public hearing as to rezoning that to commercial. And there was a lot of discussion and differing opinions, certainly within the council, as to, is this in the best interests of the entire community? And, you know, it was one of those 5-4 votes that do happen. And that's always a good thing. We can agree to disagree. And I think it's good to have differing opinions. And sometimes, you know, it's good to hear the other side and hear why they feel that way. There were a lot of residents there that, and mostly were opposed to the rezoning of it and fearful of a commercial piece there. But more importantly, I think they're concerned about a gas station going there, and which would require a special permit anyway, regardless of what the zoning is. Gas stations always require a special permit from ZBA or planning board. So so again, we moved that particular piece of legislation to a second reading, which will it's tentatively planned for the 26th, and I'm hopeful we're trying to make sure that we fulfill all the legal obligations for postings of the legislation. So as long as we can do that, it will come back on the 26th for a final vote of the council.
Yeah, because the public notices require, I believe it's what, 10 to 10 business days in advance, et cetera. So tight turn.
Exactly.
And then the second piece, the friendly 40B, and this had come up before in terms of the initial presentation. Residents had not, or at least the abutting residents had not been involved. There was a side meeting. They did have at least that discussion. They better understand some of the process. And the process still needs to work, which I think is the key piece from my point of view. Yes. But I'm at least agreeing that I like at least that you did approve to at least allow it as a friendly 40B to progress through the process, because there's a whole lot of details that still need to be worked. And the presentation and the actual outcome may still get changed along the way.
Absolutely. This is very, the very preliminary stages. And I think, you know, I was on the, I voted in favor of this particular piece. I do feel that having the friendly 40B gives the community the best opportunity to look at look at getting improvements to our infrastructure from the applicant, and you stand in a little better position, it being a friendly 40B, than you do if it goes to not an unfriendly 40B, but for a straight 40B where they bypass, where they can bypass the town to a degree, go to the state and then come back. They still have to go to ZBA, but it takes it out of the council's hand, and you lose that that piece of being able to discuss infrastructure improvements with the contractor as part of the process. And I think that's a lot of what happened. He did make, after the meeting with the residents out on the site, or well, in the neighborhood, there were some concessions that were made where, you know, with the fence in along one of the properties, and changing a couple of things. So I think the meeting, the resident meeting, was a good meeting. Did it convince everybody, all the residents, that it's the right thing to do for that piece of property? Absolutely not. There were a lot of people at the meeting that spoke again against moving forward with the project. A lot of it is based upon, you know, we all know how difficult the traffic is along 140, and traffic is, you know, probably was one of the bigger issues, if not the biggest issue, that most of the opponents of the project were concerned about. and you do your best to try and deal with those issues as they move forward. And again, as you alluded to, this is just the very, very beginning. All last night did was just give them the opportunity to continue with the project along with, the local guidelines and state guidelines for a friendly 40B.
Yep, a lot of work still to be done and
A
traffic.
lot of work, a
Yeah.
lot of work by the contractor in moving this project forward. So I'm sure more to come with that.
Yep. And then the next piece of the zoning was effectively a package of three integrated bylaw amendments, as I understand it, where because two things were happening. One, we, as in the town, wanted to change to meet the MBTA compliance. There was one specific recommendation in there. And then secondarily, the definition of a mixed use was part of this because of the way it plays together and the way they were wording it. So all three really needed to be considered together as a package. It was amended in changing the minimum from 1.5 instead of to 0 to 1. So there was some rewording to make sure that it really went together. But ultimately, it's going forward to the planning board and then still coming back to you for a discussion and an eventual vote, as I recall.
Absolutely. And the con not concern, but what we need to be very cognizant of is that we have a deadline with MBTA to be in compliance, and that is in October. So it was important for us to get these pieces of legislation moving forward to bring us into compliance with the MBTA piece. And sure, in best case scenario, would have liked to have seen this getting worked out through the Master Plan Committee, which they're right in the heart of things right now, but we couldn't wait to get ourselves in compliance. So this was a situation where it allows us to get into compliance, and then if it needs to be tweaked a little as the Master Plan Committee finishes up their recommendations for the master plan going forward, we can always do that at that juncture.
Right. Yep. So it was another one of those timely things that really needed to be done last night and took a little extra time to do so, but now it's on its way
Yeah.
and still to come back.
Still to come back.
Hopefully in a shorter discussion next time, but we'll see. We'll see.
Well, let's hope.
Yeah. And then to close fairly quickly, the town administrator provided an emergency shelter update, which hadn't been heard for a while, but certainly with the word that Norfolk is now getting some migrants in the prison of all places. That's a whole other story, but he made a couple of key points that we certainly want to reinforce here as well.
Yes, it's there hasn't been an update really put on the website because there really hasn't been a lot going on beyond the that there's a new state agency that has come in and is running the migrant situation across the entire state. And our local volunteers and our local people have been replaced by this 24-hour presence of this committee or group that is running the situation with the migrants. So as we look forward, we're still waiting to see. We've asked on more than one occasion, more than double digit pieces asking to get a contract. Can we see the contract with the hotel? Is it continuing? Does it go for another year? What is the situation? And we have been unable to get that answer. We know it's going forward for, probably at least another, 4 to 6 months anyway. excuse me. But to know whether it's been, they've been signed on for another year, we don't know that yet.
Mm-hmm.
We're still trying to get that information. It's important for not only the community, but it's important for our school system as well to know what is going on. Will they continue to have these students that are currently in the system or not, or more or less?
Right.
These are questions that are still out there and have not been answered yet.
No, and I think the key, a couple of key pieces there to reiterate as well. Jamie also mentioned at the Senior Center in the Q&A on the override that they had in that forum on Wednesday afternoon, but he reiterated that no town funds have been spent for anything in terms of supporting the migrants.
Right, exactly. And just so that people understand, we have received approximately $585,000 from the state for the students that are enrolled in our school system. Now, is that the entire sum that we were told we'd be receiving? No, it is not. But we have received those dollars to date to help with the educating of the students that the migrant students that are in our school system. So I think to your point at what Jamie said last night, that no town funds have been expended, and they have not. Beyond, obviously, within the school system, but we have received those that $585,000 to date.
Yeah, and from school committee meeting, the update I got was that the $584,000 effectively covered kind of the first payment and then the first quarter of this year, and they're still expecting a second quarter payment, clearly as the schools complete the calendar year, because the reimbursement is based upon number of students per day, et cetera. So yes, they wait till after the school year to finish that.
Another one of the state's lengthy formulas to figure out that number. So
right,
it does sometimes take a little bit of time.
Yeah. The other bright spot in that, too, is the hotel tax, which we were concerned about. Jamie confirmed we've actually gotten the reimbursement from the state for that. So
yes, we have. We got 100% of what we were hoping that we would get for the hotel tax, the local hotel tax, that there was a question and a concern early on whether we were going to get just a portion of it, all of it. And as it turns out, we have been made whole. So that's a good thing.
That's a good thing.
Very good thing.
Yeah, we like money.
Yes, we do.
Because we don't have enough of it, which the citizens will get a chance to vote on or before June 11th. So,
yeah. That's coming up next week. Certainly let your voice be heard. And please come out and vote on the proposed override, be it yes or be it no. But let your voice be heard. So there's still early voting going on, and the election is Tuesday,
the 11th. Yep. Well, thank you, sir, for the recap. That certainly gave us, what, in less than 30 minutes, the 4 hours last night. So
I wish we could have done that last night.
Yeah, you know, there was a few more people involved that needed to have their say, right?
A few more, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
All right. Well, thank you again for doing so. Listeners, thank you for listening. Come back. There's more to happen. But in a couple of weeks, we'll find out clearly what happens on the budget side, given what the results are of the override. And then they're further down the road, there's going to be more bylaws with zoning discussions, et cetera. So,
yes, there is. And thank you, Steve.
Thank you. And for the listeners, final reminder, quick reminder, we do this because Franklin matters.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio.
This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.